Father, once again, we're grateful for this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, dear God, for each one that's come. Lord, we lift up those that are sick today, Lord. I pray for them. I thank our sister Brandy. Lord, I just pray, God, somehow, Lord, you would intervene in her life and help her, dear God, with the needs that she has. And bless Brother Wells, too, there. Thank you, Brother Whitmore, Lord, in the hospital. Brother Joe, I pray for the need there. I thank you, Lord, that Lord, you're in control. Lord, you're on the throne. Others, Lord, that are not here today because of sickness that maybe we can't remember. Thank you, Kathy Lee. Lord, we have a lot of people, Lord, that have physical needs. But Lord, we know that you're the great physician. Lord, you're able to supply above that we're able even to imagine or think about. And Lord, we just commit these people to you that are not here today. And ask you, dear God, to bless them and supply their needs. Bless their families too, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time now as we open the Word of God. Lord, may it be profitable for all of us as we focus again today on Jonah. And God, I just pray, Lord, you give us what we stand in need of today. Lord, have your will and way in all we say and all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been studying now for some time the book of Jonah. And as we go through the book of Jonah, we've seen a lot of things. We've learned a lot of things. Hopefully you have. But nevertheless, today as we continue, we're going to try our best, if we can, to get Jonah out of the fish, okay? He's been there for a number of weeks, and he's probably stinking by now, but we need to get him out. But nevertheless, you know, as time progresses on, we try to allow the Lord to lead us in what we're studying, what we're trying to do. But last week, we talked about contentment, learning to be content. Also, we talked about chastisement. And we said last week that, you know, trials and afflictions come upon us. And when they do, as because of sin in our life, we need to acknowledge that God is working. God is working. Anytime I commit sin, anytime we commit sin as a child of God, God wants us to make it right. He wants us to correct it. He wants us to have fellowship with Him. It can be any kind of sin. There's no big sin or little sin as far as God's concerned. Sin is sin. And therefore, whenever things happen in our life, God sometimes has to chastise His children. And we've seen that in the life of Jonah. Jonah ran from God. He did not want to do what God wanted him to do. He had rather die than go to preach to those Ninevites. And we find because of that, the mercy of God and the grace of God pursued him through a storm and through different things in his life to get his attention. And God does that for us many times. We talked about chastisement last week, how it's learning and teaching a lesson. It's to educate us. It's to instruct us. It's to guide us in our lives many times when we have things that come into our life that should not be. But also we saw it was for correction. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I had you turn there last week, and I never read it. But I want to read a few verses here in this as we conclude by chastisement today. In Hebrews chapter number 12, I want to look at verse number 5. Talking about chastisement today. In verse number 5 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with what? Sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" First of all, we see chastening here is a mark of sonship. It's a mark that we belong to God. We ought to thank God that He does that when we do wrong. Just like, of course, when we come up, our parents tried to correct us and all this, and we weren't thankful for that either. We didn't see the benefit of it, but now as we get older, we do see it. And you see it in your children, probably in your grandchildren, you see. Well, because we are children of God, God chastens us. It's a mark of sonship. It's a mark that I belong to God. And God wants me to do the best I can for him. We also see, look at verse number 8. Verse number 8, "But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's a big statement there he's saying. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correcteth us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, we find here the purpose of chastisement. He says here that we might profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. In other words, that we might be more like Jesus, more like God. That's why we have chastisement. That's why we go through it. He's trying to help us. Now, verse 11, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So we see here chastisement. We said last week that chastisement does not always follow sin. Chastisement sometimes precedes sin. Chastisement sometimes prevents sin in our life. We also said that chastisement gives us time to be with the Lord. A time to think. You know, I think about talking about praying. I think about Jonah in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. He had time to think. He had the time to think about what he had done wrong. You know, he also had time to think about the mercy of God, how God had put him in that fish rather than out in the sea drowning or being dead by now. See, he had time to think. And you know, talking about prayer, Brother Tyra, we need that time to think, that time to be alone with God. Jonah needed a time to be alone with God, and God knew that. So he made arrangements for that, so he could think about God and all God had done for him and what God wanted to do for him. So we see here that chastisement gives us time to think. And remember this, as a child of God, in chastisement, God is always near. God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He loves us in spite of us. That's hard for me to understand, but he does. But sometimes in chastisement, there, don't forget that God is near. He's there. As a son of God, we're going to have to go through chastisement sometimes if there's sin in our life. And God does that to help us, to correct us, to guide us, and to teach us, you see. Now, go back to the book of Jonah. Go back to the book of Jonah now, where we were. We're going to look here today as we try again to conclude this in chapter number 2. Look at verse number 9. Chapter 2, verse number 9, Jonah. Jonah said this, but I will sacrifice. Now, Jonah is still in the whale. He's in the sea, okay? He's thought about a lot of things he's done, a lot of things he should have done. And we find here that he's thinking about the mercy of God. And he says in verse 1, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Notice, but I will. I will. Jonah speaking here. Now, notice what he says. I will. Jonah, the one who knew better than to idolize himself and other things. He's the one. But I, he said. The one who had learned a new lesson of trusting God. But I. See, something had happened to Jonah in his thinking. Now, he's not thinking now like he was before he ran from God. He's thinking different now, how he's been foolish in what he's done. He says, but I will. You know, in our relationship with God, it's a personal thing. I can't have a relationship for you with God. You have to have it alone. Like Jonah had to have it alone. He came to realizing here what he had done here. So we see here, even in the, while Jonah is experiencing chastisement, here he's promising something to God. He's having a change of heart here. He says, but I. In other words, he's making an outward expression now. An outward expression here of loyalty and gratitude to God for preserving him and giving him an opportunity, maybe when he gets out of this well, this fish, to make a sacrifice. To make a sacrifice and an offering. You see, Jonah's recognizing some things. He's recognized, number one, his life has been spared. He's not dead. He's alive now. He's alive even though he's in this well. His life is in sperm. His deliverance is nearer than it has been. He hasn't been delivered, but he's trusting God to deliver him from this fish. We also see that he looked forward. Once he's out of this fish, to do what God asked him to do time before that. He's ready now to do what God wanted him to do to start with, you see, because of the chastisement he's been through, running from God and all this taking place in his life, you see here. This here is a sign here of a heart that's been changed because of the grace of God, the mercy of God. Jonah's heart has been changed now. And I'm thankful today to see that in him. Notice also, he said, "But I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving." Thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? Someone said thanksgiving is thanks living. Thank living. Thank God for living. Amen. Thank God that I'm alive today. We're here today. We're together today. Thanksgiving has to be cultivated, I call it. You know, being raised on a farm, you used to plant crops and you had to cultivate then when I was raised. It's spray now. But they had to cultivate, they had to plow to keep the weeds out of it. Well, thanksgiving has to be cultivated too from our mouth. Because we'll find ourselves complaining rather than being thankful. And we had to get the things out of our mind, out of our heart that shouldn't be there, so we can be thankful, you see. Thanksgiving don't come automatically. We have to work at it. We have to work with it. Ask God to help us, you see. It also should be expressed. Always good to be thankful. Always good to be thankful. It'll make our lives better. It'll make our lives happier. We'll enjoy things better in this world if we learn to be thankful. Learn to be thankful in all things as God has commanded us to, you see. Well, here's Jonah. He's in that well now. He's there in that big fish, so to speak. And here we see victory in chastisement. You know what a blessing it is to be able to be, when you're afflicted, have the knowledge of knowing it's of God. God is the one that's doing this to me, and God's doing this for my good, no matter what I'm facing in my life. When it comes to affliction, when it comes to chastisement in our life, God does it because he loves us, folks. He's not doing it to hurt us, to harm us. He's doing it to enable us to be what he wants us to be in our lives. So we see it comes good. See, when you can discern the mercy of God in chastening, you've got victory. But not until. See, when God chases us, again, it's for our good. We can have victory when we see and discern the mercy of God. When we can see the hand of God in our lives. Even though he might smite us, we can still see the hand of God. And it's for our good when he does this thing to help us to be what we ought to be. We also see that we owe gratitude to him. We owe gratitude to God whenever he does this, for God's forbearing and his gracious grace that he has. God could take us all home. You know, if I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be here today. I thank God for his grace, his mercy, and for his forbearing, long-suffering towards me, you know, in my life. I'm thankful today that we have here with Jonah this. Being thankful, thanksgiving is very important. And Jonah said here, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving." The voice of thanksgiving. You know, we said a couple weeks ago about how afflictions will open the mouth of this, what sin has made quiet. And here we find this in Jonah. The afflictions that he's gone through now is opening his mouth and he's confessing to God. And now he's thankful for the mercy of God and God delivering him from this situation. Thankfulness, what it does, thanksgiving, we see, first of all, when we're more thankful, it opens the door of mercy. Opens the door of mercy. The mercy of God. God, when God sees our thankful heart, God pours out more mercy. His mercy is more abounding, you know, to someone that's always thankful, all the time, you know, in their life. So thankfulness is good. It sets God's goodness free. It sets his goodness free to be for us, you see. Being thankful does. It also prepares us to receive a blessing because we're thankful. You know, sometimes we may not receive a blessing because we all we do is grumble and complain all the time. You know, thanksgiving, being thankful, prepare us for when we receive a blessing, to be thankful, you know. Has anybody ever done something for you and you forget to thank them? Does it bother you? It does me. I mean, if I don't thank them personally, maybe I send them a thank you card to do something, you know, to be thankful. You see, we need to be this way. Jonah has got to the point, he's thankful. He's thankful in his life, you see. I think we can see where Jonah is today, and we realize that maybe, you know, God wants us to be this way all the time. I'm thankful that you know, we're learning from him here by being thankful. Thanksgiving looks primarily to the benefits that have been received. In other words, you do something for me, I'm thankful for the benefits that you give me, whatever it is. It can be a pie, whatever it is. I can be thankful for that benefit that you gave me, okay? On the other hand, praise is to the bestower. In other words, it's to the one that gave it. It's to the one that gave it. I praise God for his giving me what he's given me in my life, you see. So we see this is all the way it is. All men receive blessings from God. There's not one of us today in here that hasn't received a blessing from God somehow this week. And we owe him thanks. We owe him thanks for all he does for us. Some good things sometimes are even received unthankfully. Some good things sometimes are received unthankfully when things happen to us. But we see some practice no thankfulness. Some people are never thankful for anything. We don't go out much to eat, but sometimes we go out to eat and we watch people. And we see people go and get their food set out and start cramming down their food and never thankful for anything in their lives. How sad it is, folks. We need to be thankful for everything. The air we breathe, the clothes we have, the home we live in, the church we have, the people here in this church, we need to learn to be thankful. Amen. Thankful for all things in our life. You know, God has put us together here. He's put us together to bring glory to God. He's put us together here to try to win people to Christ and try to encourage people in the Lord. Therefore, we ought to be thankful for all things. But I want you to notice here the last part of this verse, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Notice he says, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Someone said this is a summary of the Bible, these five words. Salvation is of the Lord. And how true that is. You can say it's a summary of the Word of God. Because salvation is of the Lord. The only way people are saved is by God. Through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us here today. I want you to turn back to Psalm chapter 27. I was going to try to quote it, but I'm afraid I'll mess it up. Psalm 27. Talking about salvation is of the Lord. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 27 and verse 1, says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Listen, a child of God needs never to fear or to be afraid. Never to fear nor be afraid. Because the Lord is your light and your salvation. The Lord is the strength of your life. Neither to fear nor be afraid because of who God is. Salvation is of the Lord. Thank God for that today. Now, back in Jonah, chapter number 2 again. Let's look at this verse, number 10. Verse number 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Here we find again, God's deliverance is always on time. God knew how long it was going to take Jonah to be in that well, to get his attention, to get his focus, to get his heart right, and all that he did. God's deliverance is always on time. And we see here, the punishment, the chastisement now had done its work. God had done what needed to be done to Jonah. And now the fish is spoken to by God to eject, if you please, Jonah out of his stomach and put him upon dry land. Deliverance If Jonah had been delivered any sooner, Jonah would have never gone to Nineveh because God wasn't through with him. God wasn't through with him. See, God knows what he's doing in my life. He knows what he's doing in your life. He knew what he was doing in Jonah's life. He knew exactly how long it was going to take Jonah to get his heart right. He knew. And so we see here that divine deliverance is always on time. And again, he was going to keep Jonah under his discipline for a certain period of time. And he had to do that because he wanted Jonah to focus upon his own soul, his own soul's condition. And he'll do the same thing with us. He'll do the same thing with us in our life. So, ever how long it took from the time Jonah started running from God until the last day in the belly of that fish, there was a period of time that served Jonah to get his heart right and to focus upon doing what God wanted him to do. And God knew exactly how long that was going to be. And he gave that time to him there. Now, the fish obeyed God. The fish continued under God's control, having carried Jonah through the deep and also having deposited him on the land. The fish obeyed Jonah. The fish obeyed God, and we see this. We need to realize salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. God helping me, I will never despair. I say, God helping me, I will never despair. Jonah was thinking this. The darkest night will have a morning, folks. The darkest night will have a morning. No matter what you're going through right now in your life as a Christian, it can be sickness, it can be trials, testing, whatever it is, family situations. The darkest night does have a morning. Like that verse says, joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. You see, we all go through things in our life with our family, with situations that we, how in the world is this going to work out? Well, give it time, it will. Give it time, it will. Have you ever noticed that things don't always stay the same? They don't always stay the same. God does a working. God does a changing in our lives and in us physically and mentally. The deepest grave will have a resurrection. The deepest grave will have a resurrection. I don't know if anybody's in the Lord and Jonah is. He's in the bottom of that sea. The fish come by and got him. He delivered him. You know, the life we live, it may have storms and dangers. One day, praise God, we're going to wind up on that sunny shore. That place called heaven, you know. We're going to be through with the trials and testing and tribulations we had to go through in this world, just like Jonah was here. Now, Jonah is a sign. He's a sign to us. He's a sign to the Ninevites. As we look at his life here, he's a sign of the spurning of the authority of God. Whenever God speaks, we ought to listen. And if we don't, we have to suffer the consequence when God speaks. Therefore, it's a sign to us to wake up. When God speaks to us, we're going to do something. We're going to do it. Also, he's a sign of the mercy of God. The mercy of God. How he's pardoned. How he's restored. How he has preserved Jonah. Because of his mercy. It's a sign to us. God restores us many times in our life. He really does. He pardons us. He restores us in our lives. Now, verse 10, we see here, first of all, God's power. It says, and the Lord spake unto the fish. We see God's power. We see, again, God's in control right on. God's in control right on. The winds he controls, the sea he controlled, and the fish he controls. You know? The only one who disobeys is who? Jonah. Jonah disobeys. Man, yes, man. But other things obey God. Other things obey God. See? The sailors, they did their best to get that boat to the land. They did their best. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So what did God do? God raised up a big fish. And God used the fish to get Jonah to the shore. That was God's plan. That was God's design for Jonah to get there. That's how he was going to get there. And so that's what he used. Notice, he says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And that's a word we don't like to use much. But the only positive use is here in the Bible. Okay? Because Jonah came out of that fish. He came out of that fish and he landed on dry land. You also think about what he thought when he hit that dry land. We're not missing that some next week. But here I want to realize this. Jonah's story began with him succeeding at failure, didn't it? You know, we said the failure of success is our thought through all of Jonah. Well, Jonah's story began with him succeeding at failure. He succeeded at failure. What did he do? First of all, he rejected God's call, didn't he? He did not want God's call. He rejected the call of God upon his life. Secondly, we see that he disobeyed the command of God to go to Nineveh. He disobeyed him. He didn't go that way. He went the opposite way. We also see that he ignored God's will for his life. God's will for my life is not important. Listen, no matter who you are today, setting aside my voice, God's will for your life is the most important thing. Amen. God's will for your life is the most important thing in your life. Daily, I'm speaking about. You don't need to know God's will for your life 10 years from now. We need to know God's will for our life daily. Daily. It's God's will for you to be in church. You're here today. Thank God for that. You know, we're doing what God wants us to do. I believe that today. But he ignored God's will. Jonah worshipped himself, literally, by choosing rather to die than to submit to God. I'll die first, he said, before I want to do this. I'm going to die. I'll die first. We see also God in grace and in correction or chastisement, we find, pursued his servant Jonah. He pursued him. In love and mercy, he did. Now Jonah, who has succeeded so well at spiritual failure, he had succeeded so far so well in spiritual failure. He's failed spiritually, hasn't he? Because he hasn't obeyed God. He did nothing that God wanted him to do. So he succeeded, he failed spiritually. Now what's going to happen? In chapter 3, we're going to see God's going to give him a second chance. God's going to give him a second chance. You know, I thank God for the second chances, don't you? Amen. I thank God whenever I do wrong and slip, God don't toss me out the door and that's it. He gives us chance after chance after chance after chance in our life. And now here we're going to find Jonah's going to have a second chance. We've seen God's patience in chapter 1. We've seen God's pardon in chapter 2. Here with Jonah, we're seeing here that Jonah has learned some things about God. Jonah has learned things that God is bigger than he thought. He's bigger than he thought. He's bigger than he thought in his power. God is bigger than Jonah thought in his compassion. Compassion. I believe that God is trying to use Jonah to stir up compassion in him, to stir up compassion in us. Because Jonah literally hated his enemies, the Ninevites, didn't he? And God wants Jonah to get to realization that you need to love your enemies. You need to love your enemies, no matter who they are. Love them. And God is trying to do that in Jonah here. And God now has got him to the place he's willing to go. He's willing to go do what God wanted him to do. First of all, we see you can't hide from God. Jonah tried. He got in the bottom of the boat. He couldn't hide. You can't hide from God. No matter where we are, he's always there. He's always there. The disobedience of a believer sometimes brings suffering even to the unbelievers. That's what happened to the sailors. Because Jonah disobeyed God as a believer, the sailors were also punished too because of that. Whenever we know that God wants us to do something, no matter what it is, don't run. Don't run from what God wants us to do. Because God may not stop you or me like he stopped Jonah. He may let us run. Run our course to the point even we take our lives. I've seen it happen, folks. I really have in the lives of people. God's serious about us. Jesus didn't just come to die for us. He came to die to forgive us and save us. He came to die that we might live for Him until He comes. God takes this thing seriously about salvation. We ought to take it seriously too. Listen, if you're saved today, we ought to thank God, praise Him every day of our life, every moment of our life. Because of the fact I know I'm a child of God, I'm on my way to heaven. And I don't doubt it. I know it. I know it. It's all because of Him. All because of what Jesus did for me. And here we find the working of God in Jonah to get him to the point. He said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll speak to those people. I'll speak to those Ninevites because I know that's where you want me to go. I know that's what you want me to do. You know what a joy it is to know what God wants you to do. And more joy than that is to do it. To do it. Visiting people, encouraging people that are sick in their homes, in their rest homes, wherever it is, what a blessing it is. It's always a blessing. I don't think I've ever been to a rest home to visit somebody, but I wasn't a little bit discouraged when I got there. But I don't recall a time of leaving there when I wasn't encouraged. I was encouraged. It's amazing how God works. Those people are so sick, so bad off, they will encourage your hearts if you go and just spend time with them. What a blessing it is. Likewise it is as children of God. Jonah spent, we know, 3 days and 3 nights with God, didn't he? And because of that time with God, in that place, a private place, Jonah was a different person because of what God did in his heart. Why not take heed, Keith? God wants you to spend time with Him. And when you spend time with Him, He'll make a difference in your life. He'll make a difference in your life. May the Lord help us next week as we continue. Jonah now having the second chance. The second chance. Let's pray. Father, I thank You today for loving us. I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God to encourage us, to guide us, direct us in our lives. We thank You for Jonah. We thank You, Lord, as we see an example, Lord, for us. Lord, that we might take heed, not to be like him, but take heed and not do the things that he did. Lord, I just pray You'd help us and strengthen us with this. Thank You, dear God, for each one that's come to Sunday school. I pray, God, if there's one here that knows not Christ as Savior, may the Spirit of God take the Word of God and penetrate it into their heart and their lives today. Father, we're about to go into the next service. Would You please bless the singing? Bless the special, or especially bless our pastor, who as he stands to proclaim the Word of God to us. I pray to God that You might speak to all of us. Give our pastor the liberty, the power he needs to speak, thus saith the Lord. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.